Welcome to VFN Radio. Good day to you. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I am here to encourage you this morning. And with me to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. The profoundness and the deepness. And also, here this morning to encourage you is John Ramos.
Hello.
I want to be let you know to be encouraged this morning that the Lord is with you. If you're walking with God and you're doing what He says and you're abiding with Him, that you're considered a good fig. Yes, a good fig. F-I-G. A good fig. We'll tell you more about that later on, but it's better than a bad fig. Because no matter what happens, God protects the good figs.
Amen.
I knew I loved fig preserves. Now I know why. Give a shout out this morning to Joanne in New York. Good morning, Joanne. Give a shout out to Toys R Us in New Jersey. Good morning, Sophia and Debbie. Good morning, Crystal in the Bronx. Good morning, Nicole in Virginia. Good morning, Kevin in South Florida. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And with me this day, and to encourage you, is John Ramos.
Hello.
Hello. And Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
You guys, I'll tell you what. Praise God. Here we are this morning. Like, most exciting guys this morning. I'm telling you, you gotta get excited, man. This is an exciting moment, exciting time.
Yes, it is.
it was like for some reason he was like John was being held hostage. I don't know what that is. Like, I just want to encourage you this morning that we're not here on VFN Radio just to have a radio program. We're here because of you, because we want to encourage you. When you listen to VFN Radio, we want you to know that you're going to be uplifted, you're going to be inspired, that we humble ourselves to come on this program to be able to tell you and encourage you, not to discourage you. But, you know, I was just talking to a friend of mine recently, and he says, you know, even hearing about the signs of the times and the things that are taking place and the realities of things, that when it's God, you can leave encouraged because you know you got a God's perspective of reality. And so I just want to encourage you this morning to, you know, stay tuned to VFN Radio on a daily basis. Don't forget, it's 24/7. So if you can't catch us live, that we're on 24/7. So anytime in your day, you can turn on VFN Radio from the VFN TV app, and you can listen to us, encourage you, remind you, give you a God perspective to the best of our ability of God's news behind the news to help you, you know, because we're all about the church, which are people, and, you know, reaching out to the ones that have gone astray, those that are being led to God. But we're not talking to the world. We're talking to the church. And so you'll hear us continue to talk about, you know, let's think about being the church. Let's think about that. Let's ponder it. Let's not think we have it all figured out. You know, yesterday we were talking about rethinking church. And, of course, you can go to the VFN Torch. You can go to your app on your mobile device and your VFN TV app. If you don't have it, go to your app store and type in VFN TV. That's a V as in Victor, VFN TV. Or just go to VFNTV.com and you can get everything we have for you. But you can search for The Original Intent of the Church. There is a series on the app on VFN Radio that talks about the original intent of the church. And you also have Original Intent of America, so there's two different original intents there. And I believe that America is a byproduct of the church. And so if we don't get the original intent of the church down, it doesn't matter what the original intent of America was or is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I think, you know, you want to be open to the fact that maybe, just maybe, that America's problem, if you traced it out and you pulled out the DNA like they do nowadays and put it on a strand and you separated the T's from the H's and the G's, and, you know, John, you can explain that later. That, you know, the proteins and all, it would track down and say, aha, we found out it's not the butler who did it, but it's the church who did it. Mm-hmm. And you know, one thing about it is that when you find out who did it, then, you know, you can, you know, bring justice.
Right.
Well, with the church, you know, men in general, outside of Jesus Christ, you know, we're all in trouble and we've all sinned and fallen short. But with Jesus Christ, God served justice on his son. Mm-hmm. So when we find out that it's God's people, we've sinned and we've fallen short, and that we can not just say, I'm sorry, but we can repent. Mm-hmm. And let me give you a great, simple analogy of repentance. You're 10 years old and your mom has been telling you to make your bed now for the last 30 days. And she goes in there and she sees your bed I made. And she tells you to make your bed and you don't. And then she comes back the next day and she says, of course, I guess you slept again last night because it's, I don't know. She doesn't really know whether the cover's moved or not because they look the same as they did the day before. And, she says, I told you, make your bed. And she comes back the third day. And again, she doesn't know if they even moved or not because the socks are still on the floor. Mm-hmm. And she says, I'll tell you what, you know, today, you know, you're going to have to, when you get home from school, you're going to have some consequences because I told you to make your bed and you didn't make your bed. Oh, please. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'll make my bed and all this kind of stuff. And because there's consequences, you know, the child, you know, says, I'm going to make my bed up. And then the child makes their bed up and then she lets them off the consequences. She doesn't give them the consequences. Mm-hmm. What happens the next day after that? It's unmade again, right? Because repentance is this. When God says, make your bed up, because not having a made bed, just as an analogy, is sin. Mm-hmm. First of all, your heart's broken for the fact that you sinned against God. You feel remorseful about the fact that I didn't realize God wanted me to make my bed. And but now you're aware of it. And then you go, I'm going to make my bed. I'm going to make my bed up. And so when God sees my life, he's going to see, you know, tight sheets and pillows in the right places and 45 degree angles. It's probably Pat's, you know, 45 degree angles.
That's Steve's.
You know, Steve's, you flip a quarter probably off of Steve's to do it in the military. But then you know, hey, I'm making my bed because God wants me to make my bed, or, you know, my mom wants me to make my bed. And this is pleasing to my mother and this is pleasing to God. And you may even struggle with, oh, times are rushed. I don't know what to do. But even in the midst of that, knowing that you could just walk out and not make your bed anymore as a child, that you still adjust your life accordingly. I'm going to need to get up earlier. I'm going to need to include in my life, you know, time to be able to make my bed. I need to not get a wrong viewpoint of this. My mom's not hating on me. She knows what's best for me. And because she loves me, she's telling me I need to learn discipline in my life or whatever it is. And God's doing the same thing. And so we're not doing it out of some sort of works or resentment or I'm just trying to please God here. I'm just trying to make my mom happy. It's like, oh my goodness, I can just make my, I need to make adjustments in my life to obey God. So repentance for the church, when we see that, hey, we trace this down and, you know, the world has nothing to do with God's people, nothing whatsoever to do with God's people. It's God's people who God has a relationship with, and he loves all people. But those that have chose to be his, when we walk in rebellion to him and turn away from him, he allows things to happen to be able to bring us back to him. And what he wants from us is us to make our beds. He wants us to repent. And so there's a lot of situations going on right now where, you know, people are saying words like, I'm so sorry, I should have made my bed. I should have made my bed. And there's people making their bed for a day. You know, making their bed for a day. But then they go back to their same way of life. But what God is looking for you know, God is looking for, you know, us to be able to walk out repentance. And so the hope for America and the hope for the church is us making our beds. That's what repentance is. It's so simple, but it's pretty. It's what you have to do is die to yourself, and because the kid didn't want to make it, it's bad. The kid just didn't want to do it. But then the kid had to say to themselves, "Listen, it's not all about me, and I don't know everything, and I need to honor my mother. And if I love her, I'll honor her. If I love God, I'll honor God." You know, God says, if I'm your father, where's my honor?
Right.
And so it becomes out of love because I love my mother. Because I know she knows things. My whole frontal lobe hadn't developed yet. I'm 10 years old. I don't have no grip of reality yet. I have no experiences. And with God, I mean, you'll never figure God out. You know, you can ponder him and search his awesomeness, but it just goes on, and he goes on and on and on and on. So you just have to believe that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, and he understands why he's told us in his word to do this or not to do that. Does that mean we never have an unmade bed? No, but it's a bump in the road. It's not a bump in the road. It's an anomaly. It's something that doesn't happen continually in your life. You know, it's not like it was at one time when not only was your bed unmade, but you enjoyed having it unmade. You never thought about making your bed. But now you realize if you do sin, that you're broken for it, and you go to God and you confess it, and he forgives you of your sin. But to go on sinning and not turn from it is not to be repentant of our sin. It's very simple. And so he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and repent, turn from their own wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. And so what he's saying is, you know, you can cry all you want to. You can put as much money on the altar as you want to. You know, you can read your Bible as much as you want to. You can do all these things you want to. But when you get up from that place of prayer and that place of brokenness, if you're not making your bed, I'm not going to heal this land. Period. So then we're like the 10-year-old kid. We have to realize I've been selfish, narcissistic, and wanting to do things my own way. And how can I criticize a 10-year-old kid when I myself have been wanting to do things my way? And just because I was an adult, you know, I just started making all these rules to everybody, and it's like, I just do it my way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and here you are, like a 10-year-old kid, getting rebuked by your father for not repenting, not making your bed. And so with that, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this morning that as people are praying and crying and doing all the things we need to do, mm-hmm. if it's all said and done.
Right. You just got to continue to seek God and repent. We got to acknowledge the fact that, you know what? It's time to make the bed. It's time to do what God's called us to do. And it's, you know, complaining, feeling bad, feeling sorry, like you said, it's just not going to cut it. At the end of the day, what matters is that did we make the bed?
And that's my really concern, because we know how to feel bad. I mean,
right.
we've
got that down pretty good, don't we? It's easy to feel bad. To feel, you know, sorry when the consequences are meeting us.
Even a drunk knows how to feel bad over a toilet when they're saying yeah. more things than somebody would say because they're miserable in their sin. They made a mistake.
Sure.
They're suffering, you know.
Right.
So that's not the key.
Mm-hmm.
And the key is wanting to please God.
Right.
And my concern is that sin has become something that's not sinful.
Mm.
There's people prophesying things that make people feel comfortable in their sin. Mm-hmm. They're saying, let me lay hands on you and prophesy over you. And it's like, that man's in sin. You better get your hands off of him. Because if you say that you heard from the Lord and you lay your hands on that man and he's in sin, and when you step off, he's going to believe that God was pleased with the sin. He's going to stay in it, and God has something to say about you.
Mm-hmm.
False prophets, you get your hands off God's people.
Mm-hmm.
Quit saying, thus saith the Lord, when people were in this open sin.
Right.
You understand if you're you don't know anything about that man's life, and you walk up and you laid hands on him and you said, like God said, never say, here's an oracle from God, and you deliver the oracle from God from them, like some, he's some local God, some local situation, and now he's, you know, because you're out of your own head, and because you're coming out of your own flesh, and because you're coming out of your own will and your own motives, you just sentence that guy to think that God is okay with a sin and he's going to burn in hell because you said, thus saith the Lord. Listen, the problem is sin is no longer sinful in the minds of so many people in American churches. Really, I mean, you got to pay attention because you got to remind yourself, oh my goodness, this is sinful. Mm-hmm. you got to say, this is sinful.
Right.
That's why when you're prophesying over people and you're moving in your gift, that you need to be aware of who their pastor is and their shepherd is and work with them and understanding that they are under a shepherd,
right,
for a reason, right. And you need to, and they know where that person is. They know what's happening in their life, and they're going to have to pick up all the pieces when you walk away and prophesy out of your own head or your own heart,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that you have to understand if somebody is, for example, in the mafia, they're in some drug cartel or something, and they're killing people, and you walk up and you lay hands on them and you begin to prophesy over them and it does not cause them to be acknowledged. What you say to them does not make them aware of their sin, and it makes them comfortable in their sin. It doesn't even bring it up, and it causes them to feel better about where they are in their life. I mean, Jeremiah 23 talks about you. God talks about you in Jeremiah 24.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I don't even want to hear it. He says, I don't. Mm-hmm. He says, you know, and so right now we've got to hear a word about, Lord, help us turn from our sin. Help us repent.
Amen.
You know, marriages are out of order. Families out of order. Finances are out of order. Choices of what comes into our eyes are out of order. Relationships are out of order. I mean, which means sin. These are things, unmade beds, and people are going, let me prophesy over you. Let me prophesy. It's like, prophesy. When you finish, I better feel convicted if I'm in sin. Because if mm-hmm. I don't feel convicted, you know, lovingly convicted, that if I'm not drawn closer to God, you know, when this finishes and I just feel more comfortable in my rebellion and my idolatry of self,
mm-hmm.
you know, stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Stop preaching messages and prophesying over a nation of believers in the church that causes us to feel comfortable in our sin. We don't listen. If you really loved us, you're going to help us in love, and you're going to speak words that you're hearing from God that lines up with His word. That when you're finished, I understand a loving God loves me, but I'm going to have to deal with the sin in my life. And if I will go to the cross, God will forgive me for that sin, and I'll be in right relationship with God. But right now we have so many feel good, of course, I mean, everybody is a friend of a man who gives gifts, stimulus packages.
Yep.
Of course, everybody's your friend if you call yourself a prophet, and every time you lay hands on somebody, you go, and then I see you walking, you know, on gold, and then I
in a mansion,
and I see, you know, that you've been struggling, and that, but God sees your struggle and is like, and welcome to all of us.
Yeah, right.
it's like guessing your weight at the fair. Oh, you're like, you're thinking he'll never guess my weight. he goes like, how did you do that? Oh my goodness, I thought this shirt hit it. He can never guess Pat's weight. He can never guess Pat's. We got to check this blousing thing out.
It's the blousing.
Yeah, we got to check this blousing thing out to see if it works. He may not blouse again. It's like, anybody find out it doesn't work. No, but seriously, that is very frustrating for people who love God and love people who want to see them, people be forgiven of their sin. They want to see people set free. When you keep on, every time they see you, then here comes a good word. I mean, Ahab loves you. I mean, oh my goodness. Come and tell me some other reason why me not taking the keys of my life and running things the way they're supposed to run. They'll tell me, oh yeah. And if you give them a true word, it's like, they're like stomp out of the room. I can't lie. Always give me a bad word, Elijah. It's like, well, no, just kind of, you know, telling you like it is, you know, right. God loves you.
Someone once said, did you get a good word?
Yeah,
it's like, hello. Every time God speaks is a good word.
Yeah. That's right. It's like, and the thing is that this is what he says. This is what he says. And read, take a little time, the other people that are not 17%, because only 17% read the Bible, according to George Barna. 18%. My thing moves, isn't it? 16, 17, mm-hmm. 18. Under 20. 19. There he goes. Wait, when are we in? So the 80%, pause for a moment. Don't read anything, but just read Jeremiah 23 and 24. Just read it.
Mm-hmm.
And understand that now, since we're in this condition that we're in as a nation, as the church, now not as the people who are not walking with God, not the people that have like statues in the wilderness that are burning, the Burning Man people, none of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, who have said that they've actually accepted them as their Lord, who understands, you know, the family of God, that, you know, you're wanting to walk with God, that we need, if we got to repent, we need somebody to talk to us and be real with us so that we can make a decision. Somebody needs to come into our lives and say, your bed's unmade. Make your bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need somebody, but it's important this, the truth and love. We need, you know.
Not to tell us what our itching ears want to hear with the Book of Acts.
There shouldn't be one ear that itches in America right now. I mean, there should be not. Everything is, there's nothing, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, with that, you know, we speak the truth and love. L.A. Joyner, I had a prophet come to his church in Georgia, and he was just really, you know, harsh. And he finished up and talking to an L.A. was pastor in the church then, that church. And the prophet looks at him and says, yeah, he says, why do you talk that way, basically, to the guy? And he goes, well, because I'm a prophet. And he says, no, you talk that way because you're mean. And so I'm not talking about being mean, because first of all, it's not going to work, because people respond by love, but you got to be the kindness and the sternness of God. You got to say, this is bad, but God loves you. This is bad, but you can repent. There is justice. Yeah, but justice was served on Jesus Christ. We can cry for justice, but it causes us to run for the cross before the hammer lands on a nation. I mean, go to VFN TV and watch No One Cries for Justice. It'll give you a perspective that justice is putting things back in order again. It's making beds up. But with that, we have to get under the blood. We have to deal with our own personal sin, or the hammer will land on us. And God served justice. He dealt justice. He dealt with it once and for all through his Son. And those who actually run to him and deal with their sin, our sin, at the cross of Christ, and accept the price that he's paid, and walk away with made beds, you know, don't walk away with messed up covers, you know, as Juanita Bynum says, no more sheets.
Right.
You know, walk away with saying, you know what, I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to learn how to make beds the way Jesus has made beds. I'm going to walk my life out. I'm going to be discipled. And so I can live a life that's free from sin. And if I do sin, it's not going to be something that I desire to do. And if I do, you know, if you hadn't listened to, was it called the product? What was the pigs? The
prodigals.
The prodigals.
Prodigals are coming home.
And it talks about the difference between a sheep and a pig. That is a big difference. It doesn't mean we're not going to get dirty. We're going to sin. But it's not going to be something that stays continual in our life. And the goodness of God in us will empower us to walk out the good things in this life that causes other people to look at us and give God glory and not us, because there's no one good but God. We'll be right back.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFN TV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging. Is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com. And you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link, and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the Daily VFN Radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFNTV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side. You know, John, I've been really encouraged, you know, listening to Greg, you know, hearing about his, he's got a lot of direction about wanting to get, you know, start working out again. And I went to a local gym and, they had a membership fee, man. They wanted like $50 a month.
$50 a month.
Yeah. I was like,
it's kind of cheap, actually.
Well, I mean, my workout plan is just going to work just to save up that $50 just so I can have a membership fee to get into the gym to start working out. I'm like, this ain't working, man. You know? And I'm like, I just can't do the $50. And I was like, I gotta find something that I can, you know, that's going to encourage me. Well, there's no subscription fee.
Really?
And I found out. Check it out. You can subscribe. VFNTV.com, become a subscriber. You get more content. You get more messages that'll encourage you. If you're not a subscriber, check it out. Go to VFNTV.com, become a subscriber.
You know, Pat, Steve,
mm-hmm.
I remember when I used to go to a traditional church.
Yeah.
And for so many years, you try to have relationship. But yeah. Really, how could you? You're there for a couple of hours. Everything gets started. It's timed. And before you know it, it's done.
It's hard.
And many people experience the same thing. I can remember when I first became part of VFN and Vine Fellowship Network, it truly was all about family.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like I was stepping into the book of Acts because it wasn't about anything else except knowing God. It was about loving God, loving others, and helping other people to experience the same love.
Yeah.
VFN family, if you're searching for a place where you can walk out your authentic walk with God, mm-hmm. where you just are not, it's not an emphasis on going to church, but really on being the church. I want to encourage you, check us out at VFNfamily.org. Be a part of the family.
Yeah, I think about that, you know, Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together and we got to get
right.
people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, mm-hmm. then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums yep. weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history,
mm-hmm.
our history started with next step. And it was
right.
it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got mm-hmm. back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in to die. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had
right.
to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And
right.
he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come and they like us on Facebook or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see where think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just for $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. If we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFM Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me to encourage you is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. You know, we're just talking about what does repentance look like? Here we are as Oh, yes. We're having such a good time here.
Okay.
We just spilled Pat's hair product all over the place, and we're trying. My hands are all sticky all over the place here.
Yeah, right.
Well, get that thing in order.
Luckily, he was blousing, so we're able to use the extra part of his shirt to wipe it off.
Well, speaking of shirt, can you verify what type of shirt is he wearing today?
The same one.
would that be a same shirt?
No, it's Dallas Cowboys.
Oh,
right. You can barely see the logo now. It either looks like a star or some sort of flower. You can't. I gotta get a picture of this. It's like in stereo. I just looked over at Chris, and he's like, "The guy." Chris's leaf is a little bit more racked up. It's like he got mugged or something. His leaf did. Or
oh
flower.
My goodness!
Yeah, I don't know what happened to yours. It got. It's kind of like antique. Oh, is it really
antique?
It's antiqued or something. Vintage. Like that. Well, listen, you're not going to believe this. And by the way, listen to the early part of this first hour because you need to, if you didn't hear it, because We could do all this praying, and we could be broken for what's going on and legitimately, but we can walk away not understanding repentance, and nothing happens but a religious experience. And we end up in the same boat that we were going to be in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to understand that, listen, we have a loving God. And go to VFN TV and watch go to VFNTV.com, watch VFN TV, No One Cries for Justice. And we're excited about our new 3.0 VFN TV app, if you hadn't gotten it yet. But you're soon going to be able to, on your app, all these teachings and words that we're talking about, in addition to VFN Radio, are going to be made available no matter where you are in the world, on your mobile device as well as at VFNTV.com. We do encourage you to be able to stay up to date in what's going on and receive our weekly newsletter that will let you know what happened that week. Maybe you got busy, you get a chance to see it, maybe you want to share it with a friend. Make sure you sign up for the VFNTV and Daily Radio Program newsletter. Go to VFNTV.com and sign up for that. Well, I had a chance to go. Remember, John, when you got a chance to come down and we went to a restaurant on the island, Flounders.
Mm-hmm.
And they no longer sell that chowder for a nickel or a dime anymore.
Are you kidding me?
No, it is like, and it's only give you one bowl of it.
How much is it now, like 25 cents?
No. It is.
That was some good chowder, man.
It wasn't it?
That was
and you're
very,
not a,
very
you're not
good.
A chowder eater.
Idiot.
And you're not even a chowder eater.
I am not at all. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, and I didn't mind blowing the 5 cents.
You're such a big spender.
You know how it is. I even said, give them another one because it's free at that point.
Right.
But now it's still good. It's $3 or something a bowl, which is typical, you know, prices. But once you've done it for a nickel for 20 years, it's okay. Don and I had a chance to go and have the seafood nachos.
Mm. Oh, you like that.
The seafood nachos. These seafood nachos they give you, it's like nachos, I guess, you know, Mexican's food has that too,
mm-hmm,
right? Nachos
right.
things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Every American goes, of course.
Hey, you know, those nacho things, you know.
You know, the nacho
yeah,
things.
You know. These are like nachos on steroids.
I mean, they really are. They really are. I'm trying to actually find it here. I can't find it. But the it was so huge. When they brought this thing to our table, it was so big that people came over to our table to take pictures of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
See, right? It was dripping with a heart attack, like cheese dripping off of it.
Wow.
And it was just, I mean, so these people got up from their table. And
it's a mountain.
Oh, see it? And then... And it's got fish in there, you know.
It's got crab meat, shrimp.
Right.
It's really, really good.
And
oh
so with that, you know, we kind of hacked at it for a while.
That's a meal by itself.
It's total meal by itself, and that's what we're
doing. You ate the whole thing?
Oh, no. You got to see this. You make this available for everybody to see this. You're not going to believe how huge this thing is. And so they're coming over and snapping shots. So if you happen to see me on somebody's Facebook at Flounders, it's because I ordered a mountain called a seafood nachos. And so when we got done, you know, hacking at it for a while, taking a chip here and there and that type of thing, we asked the waiter, could you bring us a to-go box? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you feel guilty leaving this much food. It could feed a third world nation.
Right.
And with that, people were thinking, okay, we just need a bag. We need something to be able to carry this away with. And so it's so much. Now, we ate at it for – this is our meal. We're eating at this thing nonstop.
Right.
And he brings us an entire cake container, a disposable cake container. That to put it in. It's just so much to it. This is after we ate on it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're like, you know, I don't think I want another nacho.
Yeah, right.
And the fish is like, okay, I don't want any more fish.
It's coming out your
nose. Had jalapenos and cheese and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm.
But it was so big. I'm telling you. It was so big. There was so much in the leftover that we ate on it, and we took it out in a cake box. And we wanted to put it on the seat of the truck so that it wouldn't, you won't take it back with you. You got to put it somewhere.
Yeah.
But it was so big, we thought, we're going to have to seatbelt this puppy in. See it?
Oh, my goodness.
We had to put it in a seatbelt. We had a little child restrainer seat. It was so much left over.
Wow.
That
y'all didn't eat much at all, my goodness.
No, we did. We ate and ate and ate. Wow. It was like, I don't even want to see this anymore. But then we felt like, this could feed a third world nation. We better take this back.
Was that 5 cents too?
Oh, no. I don't know what it was. $10. It was $10.
Well, that's not bad at all.
I know. Compared to Jersey prices, that's very good, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so, but look at that. I mean, it was so big. I mean, isn't it? It's right there. It's in this. You got to see this. Make this available.
Unbelievable.
It was so big. So if you get a chance to come to the island, the Pensacola Beach Island, which is on the Gulf Coast, get a chance to go to that 5-star restaurant, which is beautiful. It's just beautiful sands
right
and
on the
scenery
beach.
On the beach, and they're playing volleyball, and you just got this just beachy, something. Yeah. Probably if you went to Mexico on a cruise to Mexico, that's probably what you would see, a beach, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they'll bring you 7,000 pounds of nachos and fish. And when you walk away from that, you can feed a third world nation with what you got to put in the car and put a seatbelt on.
Mm-hmm.
But it was huge. I can't wait for you to see that. Go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch and check that out. Oh, my goodness. Well, it couldn't be any more of a clearer choice. We're going to be talking about in the extra hour today, rethinking church. And the thinking is the primary word in that. And if it's in the Bible and if it's right, you can think about it all day long. Meditate
That's
on
right.
the church. Meditate on what God says about the church. And if you missed yesterday, you can go to Original Intent of the Church on the VFN Torch and on your app and listen. Begin to listen. Just dare to ask God questions.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I doing what I'm doing? Ask the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Don't be scared of that question.
Right.
Because if you're doing what's right, God's going to answer you through his word. This is why you're doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if God says, finally, you ask the question, why are you doing what you're doing 15 minutes a week on Sundays?
Right.
You're asking the question. And God will answer you. And because the church is not a place to go to, the church is a people that's called out one. We're called out from the world, and we're a people, and we're a nation, a holy nation of priests and kings, and our King Jesus is over us, and we have a mission statement, and we have a direct word from the creator of the universe what we're supposed to do. So make sure you tune in the extra hour to listen to Rethinking the Church segment. And if you are nervous you're thinking, oh my goodness, I can't let anybody in my church hear this, then you need to hear it for yourself and then share it with your church and realize that if that scares you, that's a control issue and you're feeling like you're the one that it's your kingdom and not God's.
Right.
And the way to test that out, have them stop paying you for 6 months and see if you still stay there.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And if you still stay there, I'm serious. Just to test your heart out. You don't know. To say, listen, I want everything that's due me, and you should be. There's no reason for you not to be compensated in your pastor in a church if that's what they want to do. But understand this, that you'll be able to check your heart out. Mm-hmm. And to say, I don't know, just give it to a transient or something for 6 months.
Mm. Yeah.
Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. So if your treasure is God's people, if you're overseeing God's people because you love them, then you're not going to abandon them like a hireling. You're going to stick with them. You're going to do whatever you got to do to be faithful to them. If they stop paying you and you start putting an application somewhere else, then you're a hireling. We're kind of ahead of ourselves on rethinking the church. Hang in there now. We're there. and understand if we've gone so astray from this, we may have to just go to an extreme to put ourselves back in the right kind of mode. But if in fact, you know, the only reason that you're not in ministry because it doesn't pay well, if the only reason that you are where you are because it does pay, both those motives are wrong. Because the Lord didn't say, if you get paid right, if you get paid anything, go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. You know, he just said, go.
That's right.
And he also said this, you cannot serve both God and money. Mm-hmm. We talked about that yesterday. Whoever controls the economy controls the vision. Well, whoever controls your economy, sir, ma'am, controls the vision. Listen, we got to get this. The economy is never going to get right in America if the church doesn't get our economy right in ourselves. We have to make our bed when it comes to the economy and our finances. Because remember, I was invited once to speak to a group of ministers, and I wasn't, you know, planning on it. I don't ever seek places to speak. You know, I'm speaking now. I just got to maintain my vocal cords. But the I was there. Brother Kim was there. You know, my spiritual father, he invited me to go speak, and I spoke. I just shared what was on my heart. And I shared kind of about that, didn't I? I shared kind of about, you know, so you find out if they're there for the paycheck or not when they stop getting paid. And I thought, and he looks at me and goes, this is good. You need to come back and do it again. And I thought, oh, well, great. He says, and so then later on, I'm at another meeting. I'm finding out somebody was simmering, simmering over that statement for a long, long time. And they were simmering because they didn't like that statement. And I had no idea. I was just sharing what God had laid on my heart, you know. And, you know, we all can know in part and prophesy in part, and we all can be wrong. But if it stirred your cookies like that much, you know, try 6 months without a form of receiving revenues from the ministry to just check it out. And I don't know, give it to a widow or something in your in the ones that you're responsible for. Oh, pay somebody's rent. Help somebody's power bill. They're getting so large now. The power, buy somebody's groceries and just check your heart out and see, because if we in leadership don't get it right, how is the flock going to get it right? The reason why that the Catholic Church originally did not want the people to have the word, because it was way back when, was not now, but then, because the leaders were living exorbitant lifestyles, and if the common plowman and the peasants got the word of God, they would find out it's not supposed to be that way.
Right.
And so they kept it from them. And I forget the name of that. They have a whole era about a name of that era, but it was about living lavish lifestyles of the religious and the famous. Well, that's good, isn't it?
That was very good.
And lifestyles of the religious and the famous. Join us next week. We'll show you the homes and the pools and the cars and the watches and more ignorance. The but the leadership doesn't get it right. So we got to rethink this. Ultimately, every one of us. I don't care if you're the person who can't even read the Bible because you're struggling in your ability to read, or you're the person who's teaching from the Bible, teaching it, that that we're all answer alone before God. Every one of us answer alone before God.
Right.
And so don't think about what other people think about what you're doing. Realize you're going to have to answer to God for what you did. No witnesses, no suspects. You hear me say all the time, but I'm trying to give you a perspective so that when you do stand alone before God, you would have already went to the cross and made things right with God, because once you're standing at the throne of God, which happens the moment you're no longer standing on earth when you die, you're going to be standing in the presence of God, and it's going to be too late. You cannot at that point, while you're standing before God, go, I'd like Jesus, please forgive me. I mean, it's not going to work, right?
That's right.
You would have had to done it before your appointed time of death comes. So I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I'm trying to give you a destiny of eternal life and no regrets when you stand before the throne of God. And it's really not about, I mean, it's such a shallow existence if you think it's about money. It's a very shallow existence. I was talking to some people recently about, you know, Tozer says this. A.W. Tozer says, you know, it's about the blessed. He has a chapter in one of his books. I don't know what the name of his book is the blessedness of possessing nothing.
Right, the pursuit of God.
The pursuit of God. And one of his chapters.
Classic.
Is the blessedness of possessing nothing. I remember a particular man that had nothing. Had nothing, mm-hmm. in even what he had was about to be taken from him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do at all. And so he just sat and waited on God. God, I'm not gonna, and people began to say, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something. He says, I'm going to wait on God. I'm just going to wait on God. I don't care how long it takes. I don't know. I'm just going to wait on God. Well, you're going to lose everything. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your car.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's been waiting on, he's been doing it himself prior to that, and it didn't work out. So this time he's going to wait on God. We've all been there, right?
Oh, yeah.
And of course, his wife comes in there and begins to ridicule him, and, you know, we're going to lose this, we're going to lose that, and, you know, all this different kind of stuff. And because she's seeing the consequences of him waiting on God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And this is a powerful thing to do, by the way, that when you've made all these mistakes and you've realized when God began to do something in my life, what began in the spirit, I did it and turned up doing it in the flesh, and I started, mm-hmm. doing it myself and kind of left God behind. And so he's waiting. And so, I don't know, after 6 months possibly,
mm-hmm.
okay, I don't know, it was a long period of time. it was a long period of time. God just gives him a business. Gives him a business. Totally just glorifies his name, God's name, mm-hmm. in his life, because they saw him wait. They saw him willing to lose everything because he wanted to hear from God.
Mm-hmm.
And then it ended up being over $1 million in sales on an annual basis.
Mm.
Makes you want to wait on God, don't it?
Oh, yeah.
But what happened was, as soon as he waited on God and God blessed him with this,
mm-hmm.
then he tried to keep what he never got in the first place. And then he started talking about, you know, ways to be able, started panicking that he's going to lose his stuff, the stuff that he didn't even have in the first place. Now he's worried about losing his stuff.
Sounds like Jeroboam, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then God required it of him. And took it from him.
Mm.
I mean, he could say, I willingly gave it up. Either way, it's gone.
That's right.
What happened? You know, what happened that all of a sudden, you know, when you started obeying God and it was just you and God, it was the blessed, you weren't even thinking about stuff or things, and you just loved God so much, you wanted to just do whatever he wanted. But all of a sudden, as you're walking in obedience to him, then God started giving you some things. And then it became about keeping the things.
Mm-hmm.
It, the fear of losing things. And it's like, how did your worship move from me to money? Don't you understand you can't worship them both?
Right.
How did all of a sudden you going into all the world and letting people know I love them and preaching the kingdom of God, not salvation, but preaching the kingdom of God, now you're preaching the kingdom of your building and your building program. And your board of directors, you know, and all this different stuff. It's like, how did it get that way? And how come you celebrate now that somebody can be in your presence for 6 months and not even know you're the church? And you see that as a positive thing. Well, how did it get to that?
Mm-hmm.
What happened? Wouldn't it be better to have everything removed from our lives so we get back to the blessedness of possessing nothing?
Mm.
I mean, the only reason we should be holding on to things, we should do it loosely, is to be able to be faithful to God. If God gives you a Bible, hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just give away your Bible. I mean, there's things that you know, you need to provide for your family. I mean, you need, don't somebody just take your house, but then again, don't worship your house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God gives you a gathering place, you know, gather in it, but don't worship it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. And we got to begin to rethink, you know, what are we calling church? Because church is not a building. It's people.
Right.
If every time you ride by an address and you point at a building that nobody's in, and mm-hmm. you call that building the church, and everybody you see, you say, you need to come to our church, and or you have a pen on your blouse or your shirt that says, I love my church, and you're referring to an organization or a building, I just challenge you that something's wrong with the DNA of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if all of a sudden it was originally about people and you're willing to do anything for people, but now you're throwing people on the furnace of the debt of your building and your building plan and mm-hmm. your organization and your programs, and you're not even thinking about them. And we know this proved positive, and I'm thankful for anybody that's doing whatever you can do for God and helping whatever level. And you got to have orphanages if you don't have parents. So orphanages are very good without having parents. We talked about the institutionalized church yesterday, so we're not going to go there. I'm not saying that's a negative thing. If you don't have a fear of the Lord too, you need fences.
Mm-hmm.
But we have on the VFN Torch where you have this large gathering in that context of a building doing a good thing, a very good mm-hmm. thing. And all of a sudden, in the context of that building, with this whole group of believers that are there, it was revealed that there's no relationships. Mm-hmm. They don't even know each other. Because while they were delivering the message, somebody stood up in that crowd and began to yell at the pastor there. You're probably looking at about 2,000, 3,000 people. Mm-hmm. And started coming against what he was preaching.
Right.
And so they ushered that person out. Mm-hmm. And everybody's clapping, yay! Well, you understand, they didn't know that person was even there until they stood up.
Mm-hmm.
And we dealt with that problem. And then all of a sudden, another one stood up and started yelling. This is in a building that mm-hmm. one would call, and from traditional sense, a church. But the reality was the church is the people that were there, but in the midst of them were wolves, but nobody even knew it. And now on the other side of the church, the group of people, I don't know about the people, all mm-hmm. of a sudden somebody stands up and begins to do the same thing the other one did.
Mm.
And then all the sheep look that way. And they take that one out. And they think, we finally got him. And then another one stood. And another one stood. And another one stood. And another one stood. And another one stood. That is proof positive, church, that Paul said, I warned you day and night that wolves would come in amongst you with tears. I mm-hmm. never stopped warning you. And the way that we're doing it, the way that we're fellowshipping, the way that we're gathering, if we don't even know that we're sitting right next to a wolf, they didn't even know. They were right next to somebody who was filled with demonic intentions to do damage to Israel and damage to the church. And they didn't know. And I understand why they didn't know, because that kind of system is not relational. And you can have relationships in a big building, because you can break down into smaller families and give authority to the pastors to be autonomous in the context of their following the Holy Spirit. But understand this. If Al-Qaeda stands up in the midst of your congregation, you don't even know they're there.
Mm.
Something's wrong. And then you think you dealt it all, and it pops up again and pops up again. Mm. Realize that you're responsible for those sheep who you didn't even know. You allowed a methodology that allow wolves to come in amongst them. When Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament, the unction of the Holy Spirit, said, I warned you day and night they would come in, and what we're doing is allowing them to come in. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.